Our scripture is from the letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. This is the final little farewell, so to speak, the final words of counsel and advice. And this is also the end of our series in the book of Thessalonians. So Paul writes there, and let's remember that when he writes adelphoi, which means brothers, it also encompasses the concept of brothers and sisters. It's brethren and sistern. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord, He is faithful. He will establish you and He will guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we have commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now, we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such people, such persons, we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in the work of doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he or she may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as you would a dear brother or a dear sister. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my very own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way that I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, this last little piece, this final, pericope, like we call it in seminary, this final thought, is all about work. Now, what is work? Yeah? Work, the dictionary definition of it, is any physical or mental exertion toward a given result. Right? So, you can write a research paper. That's mental work, right? Or you could cut the grass, and, well, that's physical work toward a given result. You want to get a good grade in school, or you want to make the lawn look just so. These are types of work. I hope it and pray that every one of you here sees that you have work to do. Yeah? And even you young kids. Hey, Samuel, for example, you go to school, right? And that looks like a little bit like work, right? But you're learning things. Every one of us, that can be a good form of work. And I pray, and I say this to my kids, and I hope to say it to my grandkids, be a lifelong learner. Okay? There's no point in which your life where you say, well, I've pretty much learned everything there is to learn. I'm going to sit back on my laurels. No. Be a lifelong learner. Be curious. Be open. Well, I think it's interesting that Paul starts this last bit. And finally, my brothers and sisters, pray for us. I want a show of hands. How many of you think that prayer is work? All right. Nice. Some of you don't think it's work. You know what? Somebody once said, when your work is so awesome and it fits you so perfectly, it doesn't feel like work. It's just fun. Now, maybe that's how you view prayer. It's just so natural, and it's just a conversation. That's not work. But listen, I want you to know that according to that definition of mental or physical exertion toward a given end, we can call prayer a work of prayer. Right? Let us do the work of prayer. Because we're asking the Father, we're interceding, we're praying for one another, we're praying for good things to happen in the lives of ourselves, that the gospel may be true for us first and foremost, right? Because how can the gospel be true for anybody else if it's not true for you first? You've got to understand that Jesus died for you, and that He lives for you. That He has marked you as His own, that He gives you His Holy Spirit, and that your life is a new creation. And now you have new work. You got a new master. You're not serving the flesh anymore. You're not serving the devil, you know. But you got to serve somebody. There was a song written about that a long time ago. I love it. My brothers and sisters, the work of prayer is how Paul starts this very piece. Pray for us. Pray. He says that the gospel may run, that it will be not hindered. Let us pray, my brothers and sisters, that that is true in our lives, in our families, in our community, in our state, in our nation, and through to the ends of the world. It's one of the reasons that we support missionaries, both local and international. We are giving our money to be able to support the gospel advancing. And praise God, the gospel is going forward, and people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, next week, we have the privilege to hear a report and also hear a message from the Johannes family. I'll just put in a quick plug for them. Karis is a Mish kid that went to Ethiopia on a mission trip and met and fell in love with Elias. Elias is a native-born Ethiopian, and they have two small kids, and they are going back to Ethiopia. Of course, he is fluent in Amharic, and she is fast learning the Amharic language. And let me tell you, it's like the most effective way to reach people is in their heart language. Wouldn't you agree? People need to hear the gospel in their own language. So I'm very excited about Elias and Karis, because I feel like they will be especially useful in the hand of the Lord as they communicate the truth of the gospel, that Jesus had come into this world, that He lived His life perfectly, that He died, and that He rose again, and that anyone who believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So that's the work of missionaries, work of pastors, work of evangelists, and our work. Well, then he goes into this phase. He says, well, I hear my report from Timothy is that there are people in your midst that are idle. Okay? They're not busy with their hands or doing work. And if they are not doing that, then they're busy bodies, which implied in there is like, you're minding other people's business and not your own. Don't be a busybody. Put your nose to the grindstone, so that your shoulder to the task of what God has called you to do. In fact, he speaks pretty strongly. He says, don't have anything to do with a brother or sister who is idle. Now, what does that mean? Okay, there's a certain type of idleness there that he's talking about. People who can work, but simply don't want to. Maybe they're lazy. Maybe they got other reasons. Maybe they want to live off of the good graces of the community that they're living in. Have you ever heard of people like that? Otherwise known as leeches? Yeah? Okay, Paul is not talking about people who cannot work. Someone has a disability of body, of spirit, or mind, and they're unable to work. The church should support people like that. The church should come around to people like that. The church should encourage people who want to work, but that are unable for one reason or another to do that. Also, we have people in our community that are, quote-unquote, retired, right? You've put in your 40 years as a teacher, or as an engineer, or as a banker, or whatever it is, and now you're retired. Well, my hope is that you're not just kind of like cruising through retirement until, you know, Jesus comes, or that He takes you up. I hope and pray that He will, like, put new tires on you. He will retire you, so to speak, And he will get you going in perhaps a different direction, doing different things. And don't ever underestimate the value of the work of your prayer. As you, in older years, become less able to do physical or even mental labor, that you're able in your spirit to intercede on behalf of your church and your children and your grandchildren. The prayer of the righteous man or woman is powerfully effective. Isn't it strange? Don't you think that's interesting? God can do whatever he wants, and he certainly doesn't need us. And yet, somehow, in some way, he invites us into the work of prayer. And he responds to our prayers. Do you all believe that? That the Lord hears our prayers and that he responds to our prayers? Yeah. Okay. And he puts the thoughts of those prayers into our hearts in the first place. Which again, shows us that our faith is his work from beginning to end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. That's just fancy Greek talk for the A and the Z. Okay? And everything in between. It's God's work in us. But we are encouraged to join God in his work. Okay? Don't just stand to the sidelines and say, I don't need to share the good news of the gospel with anyone. If God wants to save somebody, he can jolly well do it without my help. And yet, he says, go and preach the good news. And how will they know unless they have heard? Yay, how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news, announcing news of happiness. The good news. So your feet are blessed as you go about the work that God has called you to do. Living your life for Jesus. Your life is a testimony. You can use words, yes, by all means, and you can be a light as you reflect Jesus in and through your community. Now, we're not exactly sure why these people were idle in the town of Thessalonica. Some people think that they had gotten hold of some bad doctrine. Any one of you have ever heard of people getting a hold of bad theology? Yeah? And usually it leads to what? Bad things. Wouldn't you agree? Okay? And here's an example of bad theology. They thought that the day of the Lord had arrived, or that was absolutely imminent. And so, like, okay, let's quit our jobs. Let's sell our businesses. Like, Jesus is coming. I don't want to waste one moment doing anything. I don't want to plant a garden. I don't want to even cut my grass. If Jesus is coming tomorrow, that's just a waste of my labor. And yet, Jesus, even in his parables and in the Gospels, said, will the Master find you at work when he comes? Implying that if we're not at work, that we're not doing what the Father wants for us to do. We need to work. We need to work as much as we can right up to the day that Jesus calls us home or that Jesus comes. Wouldn't you agree? Let's not sit in our little rocking chairs and let life pass us by. He has given us good work to do. The work of prayer. Not the bread of idleness, but rather the good work that he has called us to do. And I see, as I look in this congregation, dads and sons and mothers and daughters, and I see grandparents. God has given each one of you good work to do. And I pray that as you wake up in the morning, that you will feel the pleasure of the Father. It's like, who's that guy in Chariots of Fire? And his sister was criticizing him because he was running in the 1924 Paris Olympics. That's a waste of time. You need to be sharing the gospel in China and being a missionary. And he said to his sister, yeah, sister, but when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Do you feel the pleasure of the Lord in your life? Whether it's at the mill, or whether it's at home with the kids, whether it's at school, whether it's at the veterinarian clinic, or as a nurse or a doctor, do you feel the Lord's pleasure on you? He smiles upon you. He says, well done, well done, as you join me in the good work that I have laid out in advance for you. My brothers and sisters, let us pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us daily, what is the good work that you have for me to do? However humble, however grand it is, God is giving us this work to do. And I pray that you will start every day with that prayer. And I pray also, not just at the end of your life where Jesus said he will welcome you and say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've finished your work, now enter into your rest. I pray that you would experience that every night when you put your head on the pillow, and that you hear the voice of the Spirit in your heart saying, good day. It was a good day. You did well. You served me. You completed your work for this day. Rest well, my daughter. Rest well, my son. For tomorrow I wake you up, and it's a new day in greater service for the kingdom and for the King. Amen.